Father God, this morning we just know that you are so excited to touch lives, Lord. And this morning we just come and pray for the service in Lesotho this morning where Tim will be doing the preaching, God. And the team is there interceding and ready to receive the harvest, Lord, and to facilitate people into your presence. And we thank you for your kingdom to come there this morning, Lord. We thank you for lives to be changed, Lord. We thank you that the harvest truly is ready, Lord. And we, Lord, bless you that we are able to send a team, Lord, to be your harvesters, to be your laborers in the harvest field. And this morning we come and pray for your grace, Lord. We come and pray for your anointing to break yokes this morning, to save lives, to heal lives, to deliver people of bondages. And we thank you that your word will not return without fruit this morning. We trust you, Lord, for a mighty harvest, not only today, Lord, but in the years to come. We thank you that even this morning there, potential Billy Grahams, potential Angus Buckins, potential Reinhard Bonkers, Lord, there are potential evangelists and pastors and teachers and prophets and apostles that are going to be raised up this morning in church, Lord. And so we thank you for the harvest. We thank you that you are ready to move in that nation, Lord. And we bless you for Lesotho. We thank you that you've got a redemptive purpose for that nation. And we just come and, Lord, in the name of Jesus, we thank you for life to spring forth. Where there's death and darkness and witchcraft, Lord, we thank you for life to spring forth. We thank you for the truth to set people free, Lord. In Jesus' name. Everybody says, amen. Thank you, band. It's wonderful. Thank you for being here this morning. Are you excited to be in the house of the Lord? Are you expectant? God wants to do something amazing through us. Amen. Apparently, some people have to go to a kitchen tea this morning. So if you have to leave, you've got to leave, I guess. But I'm excited this morning. I would like us to just listen to two testimonies. I would just like two people. I've asked Vili already to come and share just the testimony of the conference. We had a wonderful time in the Lord's presence over the weekend. Okay, so if you did miss out this year, don't worry. The next conference will happen next year in October. It's going to be a little bit later than this year. So book your spots for next year. We'll let you know the exact dates. But don't miss out, because we had an incredible time. I'm so excited for what God is busy doing. I had a week of impartation with all the other pastors and everything after the conference. I've had a whole week of just God dumping himself and his presence on me again, and I'm just so excited for what he's doing in this season. But let's just hear from, if can anyone, Jacobus, sal jy ook 'n getuienis bring? Will you just testify quickly of what God did in your life in the conference? Vili, thanks.
Right, morning. I hope you can hear me. I'm still a bit fluish after the wonderful time that we had there in Stellenbosch. First word to sum it up was really wow. Just to experience all the guys from different churches, not specifically just Shofar, but just the Shofar family, just to connect with some of the guys that's there, just to experience Fred's heart in action. We see them a lot in the videos that we encounter with, but it was just an awesome experience for myself just to be there. I loved the worship, and the worship was just so leading us into the presence of the Lord. And I can't say that I had a specific expectation except for to meet the Lord there and have an impartation, and leaving there changed. And the Lord just came and met us there. The week leading up to Convergence, the Lord was just challenging me in the question of, who do you say I am, and who am I in your life? And the first meeting, God just came and asked that question again in the meeting itself. And I think there was another meeting. And so for me, it was just as if God just came and tuned me into his song. And it was just marvelous just to experience and to know that sometimes I've got this question, am I in tune with Jesus? Because I believe I walk with him. But sometimes we're not really sure, and for me that was just a confirmation that he's alive, he's real, and he's got our heart's desires on his heart, and he wants us to be changed. So for me the challenge is just to moving from there and implementing it in my life. I think there was a lot and awesome teachings that happened there, now is the challenge to implement it. So I would like to encourage each and everyone, if you want to be changed, then want to be challenged. October next year, the first week, I think. Be prepared. It's life-changing.
Good morning, everyone. Wow, this is on the spot. Luckily, I have the Holy Spirit. the thing that really changed my life is just to share in the vision that Shofar has. And it is so from God, and it is so anointed. Just to see feel like this importation and this passion that God gives you for the nations. And the thing that changed my life, or what really challenged me, is like Rick Rousseau had this one teaching the one night, and he talked about like when we go to a rugby game, like you know all the players and you scream from the seats, you like say to that guy, hey, clean there, and what the call. And then you walk out, you give high fives, and you talk about the game, and you really pull the game out. And that is the same like what we do in church. We come here, we greet each other, we hear the word, we give high fives, and oh, there's so much pain in my life, let me pray for you, and then you just go home. And then he just challenged me, like, that's the kingdom. God wants to bring the kingdom down here into Bloemfontein, into the streets of where we are, to bring the kingdom outside, not just to be so focused in our holy huddle. And that, just to receive that vision and to hear that word really challenged me. And while I was there in Convergence, I was just like praying that God will give each one of us that same importation, that same excitement for His kingdom, to see His kingdom come, to see His will be done here on this earth. So, yes, it was truly blessed, and we are so privileged actually to be in this family, because God is alive and we can see the anointing throughout the conference, everything just that happened there. So, amen.
Okay, I just, the week coming to the conference, we already, like 3 months ago, we arranged with Alistair's parents, they're going to look after the kids, and we're going to leave on the Wednesday, and we'll leave the kids with them, and then we go to the conference. And then that Tuesday, they phoned us and said they're both sick, they can't look after the kids. And I was so excited, I was looking forward to this conference for like so long. So I was so disappointed, and I didn't know what to do. And then luckily I had two wonderful girls in the church offered to look after the kids for us, Lisa and Lissy. And then I decided, okay, I'll only go on the Friday, I'll fly down, so I only missed the Thursday evening and the Friday morning. But then when I got to the airport at 7 o'clock in the morning, my flight was overbooked, and there was no seats left, and there was 20 other people it didn't even help me to throw my tantrum or whatever. So then I was sitting at the airport the whole day. I only flew the afternoon at 3 o'clock, and I got to the conference that evening only, the Friday evening. And I just felt like there was really, the devil wanted to keep me away from the conference, because he knew the blessing that it's going to have. And you know, with the kids and stuff, you don't always get the importation, and you, so I just felt like there was something that wanted to keep me away. And I think for each of us, maybe like next year or whatever, don't let something keep you away. Just go on. If there's a little thing in the way or whatever, just trust God that there's going to be a way out. Because then when I got there, I was so encouraged, even though it was only a day and an evening. And just to, like what Jacobus also said, just to be part of this church and just to get the bigger picture as well, to see that what God's saying there is also saying yeah. And like, even in my personal quiet time, he's been saying the same things that they say there. And it's just encouraging to see that, you know, the Spirit really speaks to us. It's not we sitting here in a little corner in Bloemfontein. And yeah, I just want to encourage everyone, please already, like, look forward to next year and plan your things that you can be there. And yeah.
Praise the Lord. It was really amazing. I can also just say I had a few encounters with God during the conference, so I'll tell you that about that now. But I'm going to speak to you this morning about something that God really excites me and that God has excited me for, and I trust that He will excite you for it as well, because sometimes we get used to church, amen? We play lots of church, we have lots of structures, we have lots of programs going, and we get used to the church thing, like Jacobus said. We get very comfortable in our little, and that's why the conference is so blessed, because you just get out. It's almost like a mission trip. You just see God in a different place. Sometimes we need to get out of our current situations and our current circumstances. And that's why the Lesotho team is so blessed, because just to go, even if it's 100 or 200 k's away, just get out of the box, because I believe God wants to break our boxes. Amen. He wants to get us out of the box. And if those of you at the conference, you experienced Jason Upton's worship, it was out of the box. Okay. Listen to the DVDs. We'll try and get you the DVD packs if possible. I don't know if it's got all the worship on it, but Jason Upton's worship was totally something that we in Shofar are not used to. It actually broke our boxes as well, which was fantastic. But I believe God just wants to stir us at this time, specifically for this thing. And I've titled my sermon, Called to Bring Good News, because I want to ask you this morning, you know, if you look at the papers, right, just buy this morning's paper, just get any newspaper and look at all the news that's going around, okay? The news is in our face all the time. We don't have a lack of news. Can anyone agree with me? We've got news on Facebook. We've got news on the media. We've got news on TV, news in the newspapers. There's news all over the world. There's news being spread. But it's not always great news. In fact, most of the time, this paper is filled with gossip. It's filled with the media's agenda. It's filled with so many things to bring us into a place of negativity and a place of, where is this world going? And it's actually true, because this world isn't going well. There isn't lots of good news about. There's lots of bad things happening. But you see, I want to ask you, when last did you hear great news? Think of the last time you heard a great report. I mean, yesterday we had great news when we saw the Springboks winning. Amen. That was great, you know. But when last in your personal life did you hear some good news? Did you hear some news that really like made you, man, this makes life worth living. This is exciting to be alive. Because most of the times we don't hear good news. And the world out there is full of it. The definition in the Collins English Dictionary as follows about the word news is this: current events, important or interesting recent happenings, information about such events as in the mass media. I'll read it again. It's current, the definition of news according to most English dictionaries, but the Collins one puts it very nicely. Current events, important or interesting recent happenings, or information about such events as in the mass media. That's the definition of news. And I want to say this morning that I'm excited for us as Christians. We need to get back to our main purpose. We need to get back to what we've been called for and what we've been born for. And that is to bring good news. Turn to your neighbor next to you and say, you have been called to bring good news. So I want to look, as in part of my introduction, I just want to look at the life of Jesus a little bit. I want to look at three things or three main points in Jesus' life. First of all, we pick the story up here in Luke chapter 2. This is when Jesus has just been born. Okay, what happens is the whole world is waiting, especially the Israelites. They're waiting for this Messiah to come. They're waiting for something to remove them out of the bondage and the oppression of the Romans. And so there's an expectation amongst them that something's going to happen, because they have been waiting for this Messiah to come. They've been waiting for the Savior to come. And so what happens here in Luke chapter 2, Jesus is born and the news starts to go out, and the angel appears to these certain shepherds. And they are just doing their thing. They're tending their flocks. They're doing what they've been called to do. And the angel said to them, and obviously now these shepherds had never seen an angel before, and so they were quite shocked. When they saw this angel, they were very afraid. But the angel says to the shepherds, fear not, in verse 10. Luke chapter 2 from verse 10. Fear not, for behold, I bring you good news. The angel comes and says, I bring you good news of a great joy that will be for all people. The angel tells these shepherds, listen here, I've got the greatest news for you. I'm not the Sunday Times. I'm not bringing you the normal media now that's talking about all the wars and the rumors of wars and all this stuff. I've come to bring you the best news ever. For unto you is born this day in the city of David a Savior who is Christ the Lord. I bring you good news of great joy. You see, Jesus' birth was simply good news. Why? Because it was good news not only for them as shepherds, not only for the people around there. It was good news for all the world. And we are today have this good news because of what happened 2,000 years ago when Jesus was born. Christ the Savior was born. And even today, the whole world can understand that this is good news. Jesus' birth was good news. Can anyone agree with me? And then let's look at the second thing. So first of all, we've got Jesus' birth. That was pretty good news. The angels came and they announced it. Jesus in his own life, he said the following in Luke chapter 4. He says that the Spirit of the Lord is upon me, for he has anointed me to bring good news to the poor. And then he carries on and he tells the people there in the temple. He says, the Spirit of the Lord is upon me to do certain things, to bring good news, to preach the gospel, to heal the brokenhearted, set the captives free, and so on and so on and so on in Luke chapter 4 verse 18. But specifically, the first thing he says is that the only reason the Holy Spirit has come to anoint me is so that I can bring good news to the poor. That I can preach this gospel to everyone who is willing to receive it. Poor, yeah, simply doesn't only talk about those who are materially poor. It talks about those who are poor actually in spirit as well. And often the poor people in material things are actually more humble and often receive well. Sometimes they don't because they've got a poverty mentality. But the poor, yeah, simply talks to those who can receive this good news and can actually live in this good news. He has anointed me to preach the good news to the poor. This is the purpose of the Holy Spirit. Jesus' life was filled with the Spirit, and what was his life's purpose? To bring good news. Yeah, and further on in that same chapter in Luke, he says to the people, because now he's starting to do miracles, he's starting to heal, he's starting to move by the Spirit, and so the people are so excited, and they say to him, Jesus, please stay. And he says, listen, yeah, I must preach the good news of the kingdom of God in other towns too, because that is why I was sent. Jesus' life, his purpose in his life was simply to bring the good news of the kingdom. His birth was good news, and his life's purpose was good news to everyone. And he couldn't stay in that one place because he said, listen, yeah, I've got to preach this good news all over. I cannot just remain here telling you all about this good news. I'm moving on. I'm moving on to wherever the Lord, the Father leads me. I want to come, and I have come to preach the good news. And then thirdly, firstly, we saw Jesus' birth was good news. Jesus' purpose of his life was good news. And then at the end of his life, just before he goes up to heaven, he says to the disciples the following. We all know the scripture, Mark chapter 16. And he told them, go into all the world and preach the good news to everyone. Preach the good news to everyone, he says. Anyone who believes and is baptized will be saved. But anyone who refuses to believe will be condemned. These miraculous signs will accompany those who believe. And for the first time I saw in this scripture, it doesn't say that those who preach the gospel, the signs will follow them. It actually says, he says to the disciples, listen, yeah, you must tell these people that if they believe, this is what's going to happen to them. I always read the scripture thinking, cool, if I just go, then signs and wonders will follow me. And yes, that's true. But we must tell people that if they believe, this is what's going to happen if they believe. They will cast out demons in my name. They will speak in new languages. They will be able to handle snakes with safety. And if they don't drink, if they drink any poison, if they drink anything poisonous, it won't hurt them. They will be able to place their hands on the sick and they will be healed. Isn't that amazing? It's not, he's telling his disciples, you must tell these people who believe this is what's going to happen. Many times we think, okay, this is just meaning I must preach and I must believe and then signs are going to follow me. But you know what? We forget to tell the people the good news that if they believe, then they will start to lay hands on the sick. If they believe, they will cast out demons. If they believe, things will follow them. But what do, we just tell them Jesus loves you, he wants a relationship with you, and we carry on. And we don't tell them there's power when you believe. And in that, the signs and wonders will follow you. By telling the gospel and by telling other people that signs and wonders are going to follow them, guess what? They're going to follow you as well. So many times we preach a half gospel because we want the signs and wonders, but we don't tell other people, you know what? You can have the signs and wonders. Signs and wonders can follow you. Miracles can follow you. But you see, Jesus commissioned his disciples to commission everyone who believes. He told them, I'm commissioning you, and you know what you must do? You must commission everyone else. And that includes you and me. Jesus' commission is still applicable today to bring the good news. Jesus' birth was good news, his purpose was good news, and his commission to us today is to bring good news. But I want to ask a few questions this morning, because this week I really had an encounter with the Lord. The one night when we were worshiping in the conference, I really just experienced such a presence of God, and I just experienced his presence and his touch on my life, just like I'm going to talk about now, where he just came to me and told me, you know what, this is my heart's desires when we start to speak the gospel, when we start to tell people the good news that Jesus loves them, that he died for them, that he rose from the dead, that they don't have to die in sin. And I'm busy telling my son that. I'm busy telling Matthew because I realize if I can't make other disciples, if I'm not even telling my own son, you know what Jesus died? And he just keeps saying, you know, Jesus died on the cross. Jesus died on the cross. Because we used to say, what he used to say is, I died on the cross. He sees the cross and then he hears this word die. So he says, I died on the cross. And I said, no, you didn't die on the cross. You don't ever have to die on a cross. Jesus died on a cross because he loves you. And now he's starting to get it. He's starting to say, Jesus died on the cross. And I said, yes, and he rose again. Because he loves you and he's got a plan for your life and he wants to use you. You're a mighty man. But I'm starting to get excited about not only telling my own son about the gospel and the people in church the gospel, but the people out there about the gospel. But I'll tell you some stories now because I'm so excited about this. Why don't we always bring the good news? Why do we struggle to bring the good news? Why do we struggle to experience this calling on our lives to bring good news to the people? And I want to ask you, why don't you bring good news? Because we've got to be honest now. We don't always speak the good news. We're very easy to criticize. We're very easy to agree with the newspaper here and say, ooh, all the skinhead about Joost and Amor, you just read inside this paper. I mean, you know, then we're excited to get involved with, ooh, what is the media saying and what are we involved with? You know, it's so nice. It's so easy to do that because everyone agrees with us. But why don't we bring the good news? It's a bit of a challenge. Let's be honest. Let's look at the life of Paul quickly this morning. Paul had two things in his life that I just want you to take home. If you can just remember two things this morning, then I trust that the Lord will do this in your life. First, the thing Paul had was he had something that we can find in Romans 1 verse 1. He wrote to the Romans the following. This letter is from Paul, a slave of Jesus Christ, chosen by God to be an apostle and sent out to preach is good news. Before he even writes anything to the Romans, he tells them who he is. Have you seen this? Romans 1 verse 1, the first thing Paul says, he says, this is from me, Paul. You know who I am? I'm a slave of Jesus Christ. It's the first thing he says. Secondly, he says, I've been chosen by God to be an apostle. And thirdly, he says, I've been sent out to preach his good news. Something we have lost in the church today is what Paul the Apostle had. Confidence in who he is and who he was. And that's why we don't preach the gospel, because we think, oh, maybe this gospel doesn't work. Maybe I better just keep quiet because, you know, my own life is not really reflecting the gospel. So who am I to preach the gospel? But Paul didn't have that issue. Paul was a confident man, not confident in his own strength, but he was confident in who Christ had called him to be. Slave of Jesus Christ. In other words, he was sold out. He didn't live his life for himself. And then he knew that he was chosen by God to be an apostle. And thirdly, he knew he couldn't just sit with the titles. You know, because many times in church we sit with our titles. I'm a cell leader, or I'm a zone coach, or I'm a pastor. And we have the titles, but he realized his apostleship didn't mean anything unless he preached the good news. Because he was sent out. And your title today is a Christian. You know that. But many times we can say, oh God, thank you, I'm a Christian. So I'll just enjoy my title as a Christian. And Paul said, no, you're not a Christian unless you start to live the life of a Christian. And specifically an apostle. He was sent out to preach his good news. It's wonderful. I was playing with Matthew yesterday. I haven't seen my children for 9 days. So it was so wonderful to connect with them again. But you know, then I'm playing cricket with him and I've taught him cricket before. And so he's taken the bat and I throw the ball to him. And then he hits the ball well. It's like amazing. And then he goes, I'm quite good with this bat, eh, Daddy? You know, I'm a good batsman, Daddy, he says. I just thought this is so amazing. He's starting to, because I tell him, Matthew, you're a good batsman. You're good with the bat. You hit the ball very nicely. So he starts to realize the confidence he has in himself. Why? Because his daddy has told him, you know what, you're a good batsman. And Daddy God this morning tells you, you know what? You've got confidence. If you're chosen by me, then you can preach the gospel. You can be like the Apostle Paul. We need that childlike confidence. And it's totally different from pride. Many times we think, oh no, we're so arrogant and we're so proud. And it's not about that. Paul was a humble man because he knew who he was in Christ. He knew he was a slave of Christ, chosen for an apostle. And he was sent out and he did that. He lived the life. And he says, yeah, at the end of Romans, he writes this. He says, and he's writing to the Gentiles in Rome. And he's saying, I am a special messenger from Christ Jesus. Turn to someone next to you and say, you're a special messenger. And do you believe that? Paul knew he was a special messenger from Christ to the Gentiles. And he says, Gentiles, I bring you this good news so that I might present you as an acceptable offering to God, made holy by the Holy Spirit. I am a special messenger. Paul understood his confidence in the fact that he was called by Christ to be a special messenger. I want to say to you this morning, wherever you are, in your workplace, in your classroom, in your family, you're a special messenger. Do you know that this morning? To bring good news. So let's stop bringing bad news. Let's stop. And I'm not saying we mustn't, you know, we must say everything's fine and it's all nice. It's not. We've got to be real. We've got to, there's sometimes bad news. People get sick. People die. But let us bring most of all the good news that Jesus came to save lives. Jesus came to give us life. And Paul says here that I want to present you acceptable to God. And we have been called, friends, to be the messengers that makes people acceptable to God. People don't know that they're accepted in God. People think that there's no hope, there's no life. I'm just living for this temporary life. What about afterwards? And I had an interesting experience, you know, this whole week now. We had a pastor summit this week, and so every day we're busy from 8 to 5 with just Fred sharing vision and everyone sharing all the stuff that's happening at head office. And so you're downloaded with information, but you're so challenged many times. And so the one afternoon, and I think it was Tuesday, I just decided I'm going to go for a run in Yonkers Hook. I'm going to get out there. I haven't been to Stellenbosch for so long, been running out there where I used to always do my running. So I thought I'm going to get away, and it's after 6 o'clock, so there's going to be no one in Yonkers Hook. It's just going to be me and God, and we're going to have a wonderful time. So I run and I start running out, and I see there's not many people. It's starting to get dark and stuff. And I'm running, and then I just see this guy walking from the front on his own. I'm thinking, yes, this is weird. He's going to walk on his own. He's obviously looking for something. And I think, and I pass him and I say hello, and I run on, and then God starts to speak to me. And I'm thinking, God, I'm just here to spend time with you now. You know, just take me away from all people. And I'm thinking, and then God just saying to me, there's one person here. One person, yes. So guess what? I want you to speak the good news to him. I want you to tell him that he's loved by me. And so I'm running, and I'm thinking, oh God, I just want to run now. I'm tired. I can hardly speak, so I'm going to have to turn around. So I run to the end of my 20 minutes, and I turn around, and I think, okay, God, show me now. What do I need to speak to this guy about? What is his need? Because I don't want to just say, like, do the Christian thing and just say, you know, Jesus loves you. I want you to show me, Lord, what is this guy's need? And so the Lord started to show me that this guy is searching for something. And obviously he's searching for him ultimately. But he's not fulfilled in his life 100%. And because I could see in his walk, if when someone goes for a walk like that, I mean, obviously they could have been a Christian and they could be fine and they just wanted to spend time with God. But God showed me this guy needs me. And so I run back. And I stop next to him and I say, hi, I'm Alistair. And he says he's got some weird name because he's originally born in Russia now. And he actually comes from Toronto in Canada, but now he's teaching at UCT. And I think, yo, UCT is quite far from here. You come quite far to search for something. And then I didn't tell that to him. But then I thought, you know what? I said to him, what would you most like? If you could have anything in the world, what would you like to have right now? What is it that you want? And he said, you know what, I don't know. I actually don't know. But I could see he's needs something in his life. And I said to him, you know what? And he says, what about you? And then I said, you know what? I found the greatest thing in the world. I found awesome peace. I found someone, the treasure, the pearl of great price that has changed my life. And then I said to him, you know what? You can have it too. Do you know Jesus? And he says, well, I'm actually Jewish. And I said, but does your religion help you? Do you have life? Do you experience life? Because I said, I sense the Lord saying to me that you need something. You're searching for something and you haven't found it. And he says, yes, you're actually right. And then I just said to him, look here, Jesus loves you and he died for you and he wants to give you life. And that's the life I found. I found life and peace in Jesus and he wants to give it to you. As great as these mountains are, all around us, God is even greater than that. But you know what? He's so awesome that he wants to come and live in us. And I just left that with him, and he was like, just nodded his head there and didn't say anything more. And I said, you know what? I've got to go now. But you know what? I just want to tell you, just keep searching, and you will find. The Bible says, he who seeks will find, and you will find God. And I just sowed a seed in his life. And you know, I ran on, and I'm thinking, oh, shouldn't I have? you know, he's in Hout Bay, and so maybe I must connect him with the church there and get his number, but I don't have any cell phone. I don't have anything to write his number. And the Lord just said to him, you know what? Don't try to get religious on me again. Don't try and control everything. I love this guy, and I'm in control. You just sow the seed. That's all I want you to do, is just sow that seed. Just bless people with the good news that Jesus loves them and that he wants to change their lives. But you see, many times we've forgotten that, and I had the choice there. I had the choice to run past. But you know, when you've been in this meeting and you're fired up and you've been told that the gospel is the answer, then you realize, well, I better start to live this gospel. I better start to preach it. I can't have a nice seminar and go on, and then when I see someone, I don't challenge them. And I had the choice in that moment, because I was saying, God, I'm just, you know, I'm doing the church thing now, and let me just spend time with you. You know, things are so busy, and God says, that's always going to be an excuse. You're always going to do the church thing. You're always going to have to see someone else or be with the church people. But what about the people you meet every day? But we've lost our confidence. We forget that we are the special messenger. And you know what? I also realized when I was running the other day in Stellenbosch that many times we've lost that killer instinct. I call it the killer instinct. You know, when I was running again on the Bergpad there in Stellenbosch, I just thought, yes, these were the times when I used to train hard. I was so focused on my running. I was so going full out for my running. And I just thought, God, I want this instinct back for the gospel. I want to, you know, I used to train twice a day. I used to run hills and kill myself almost. Got so fit, super fit. I had that instinct of competitiveness, and when I just wanted to do my best and, you know, change the world with my running, God just said to me, I want that same passion that you had for your running. I want it back for the gospel. And I'm so excited because I really believe God is going to stir all of us. It's not about us as individuals. It's about all of us as a group. Getting back to that place of the confidence we had when we first got saved. When we couldn't care what people thought about when we preached the gospel. But Paul's confidence is something that we must ask God for. That confidence in who we are as messengers of Christ. Secondly, Paul had something else. Because it's not only about confidence, it's about a hard thing. Paul said, I am eager, and he spoke to the Romans here in chapter 1. He says, I am eager to come to you in Rome too, to preach the good news. I am so eager because I'm not ashamed of the good news. It's the power of God at work to everyone who believes, the Jew and the Gentile. Paul had something called passion that I believe God wants to bring back into our hearts, a passion to see the good news preached, the passion to see people's lives changed. And I want to say this morning, your calling is primarily a child of God. Your calling is a Christian, not a doctor, a lawyer, an engineer, an accountant, a teacher. That is not primarily your calling. Your calling is to be a child of God. But what you're doing specifically, your doctor or your engineer or the accountant that you are or the teacher that you are, that is simply creating a platform so that you can preach the gospel. But your calling is not primarily to be something, to do a career. And I want to say that this, I know I'm saying some radical things here, because some people come to say to me, no, my primary thing is to study this, and then I'll be a Christian, or then I'll do stuff after that. And God is saying, no, primarily I've called you to be my child. And primarily I've called you to be the bringer of good news, the special good news, the special messenger that you are. I've called you to be that. And what you're simply doing is creating a platform for the gospel. And I think we must actually change our thinking many times. Because we want to do the good career thing, and then if we have time, or, you know, afterwards we'll just preach the gospel if possible, maybe, if they have time. God is saying, no, preach the gospel. Be excellent at what you're doing so that you can get into a position of influence. Be excellent at your job. Be excellent at whatever God's called you vocationally, specifically. But from that place, say, God, every day I trust you for words. I trust you that I want to speak the gospel and bring good news to people who need it. And I'll never forget when I was working in Stellenbosch as an engineer, I had to go to Volkswagen in Uitenhage for 3 months. But I was so excited because at that time, God was stirring in my heart just that I must use my work and my job as a platform to bring the good news and to speak to people and to have prayer groups at work and to start things. And it was amazing. I went to VW and I just thought, yes, God, I know, you know, what I'm doing is not so significant, but where I'm going and how you're going to use me is more significant than my work. But Lord, use me to make a difference there. And at the end of that 3 months, I had to write these reports and had to set up procedures and things for the engine test cells there. And it was just amazing to at the end handing this report to this one manager, and I could see, he saw there was like excellence on this report, and I could just testify that this is God in my life. I'm bringing this to you as a blessing, and I'm believing that God is going to change lives around you. I was able to testify of God's goodness in my life. And along the way, I got involved in the Vineyard Church, and I started to, you know, the first week I was there, they had an outreach, and I was, cool, let's go on this outreach together. And we went to the neighborhood, door to door, just preaching the gospel, speaking to people, seeing lives changed, praying for people. It was so amazing for me to say, God, I'm going to Port Elizabeth, not for just to do a job, not to be an engineer. I'm going there as your representative. And it's not like I said, God, show me a church. I just said, God, wherever there's a church, I'm going with friends and I'm getting involved. But God wants to stir in that passion in our hearts, that passion again. Because Paul says in Romans 15 at the end again, he says, my ambition has always been to preach the good news. But he says specifically, where the name of Christ has never been heard, rather than where church has already been started by someone else. Paul had a passion, had a pioneering passion. He didn't want to just add to someone else's gospel. He wanted to preach a gospel to people where they had never heard the gospel before. And that's why missions for us is so awesome, because we can go, and at the moment we're going very much to nations where the gospel has been preached. You go mostly to Africa, you go to Uganda or to Zambia or wherever we've been, and even Lesotho, often the gospel has been preached. Although in Lesotho there's places which have never heard the gospel, which is so great. It's great to go to places where we've never heard the gospel, where people have never heard it. But it doesn't matter, as long as our ambition has been to preach the good news. And if it happens to be where it's never heard, great. But even if the gospel has been heard, guess what? We think in South Africa everyone's saved. Anyone heard of that? Oh, we're a Christian nation. Do you guys think the whole of South Africa is saved, or lots of South Africa saved? I don't think so. They say they're Christians, but do they live the Christian life? So is that the gospel? Is that the full gospel that has been preached to people? Just because someone comes to church on a Sunday and sings a few songs doesn't mean they've had an encounter with God. And then we forget about them. But guess what? They actually haven't either heard the full gospel. In my own life, I'd never heard the full gospel. I came from a traditional church, and when someone preached the gospel, I realized I need to change. I'd never heard that before. You go to church all your life and you never hear that you've got to repent of your sin, that you cannot save yourself. You need to have a change of life. So guess what? This nation is open for us to preach the gospel because they haven't heard the full gospel. Amen. Can I have at least five amens there? People haven't heard the full gospel. And it comes with the power of the Holy Spirit. And Paul was filled with the Spirit. And that's why he could say, I'm eager. I'm ambitious. I'm so excited to preach this good news. There's a passion in my heart. But I want to say this morning, both confidence and passion come from our hearts. It's not something that we must stir up ourselves. It comes from something that God does inside of us. And I really want to encourage us, don't go into works, don't do stuff. But when you've had an encounter with God, like Billy says, it's time to say, God, I want to react on this. Because if I don't react on it now, you know what, next year this time I'll go to the conference again, have a great time, and I'll think, oh, what did I do this last year, God? You told me last year to preach the gospel, and have I done it? Has it become a lifestyle in your life? The last scripture, I just want to read this portion of scripture, which I believe will really change our lives. And if we surrender and yield to what God wants to do, just like he did in the life of Isaiah the prophet, then we can do it. God wants to do it today, and he wants to get at our hearts. And this is the story of the prophet Isaiah when the king Uzziah died, and I talked about that a couple of weeks ago. King Uzziah didn't end on a good note. He started to burn incense in the temple, and he profaned the name of God, and he thought that he could do everything. He could do what the priests did, and he died in a state of leprosy. Leprosy came over him, and he was removed from his office, and he died a terrible death, died out of the presence of God and out of his purpose. And so in that year, in the year that this king died, Isaiah had this incredible vision, an incredible encounter with God. So listen to what he says. King Uzziah, in the year that King Uzziah died, I saw the Lord. This is the prophet Isaiah speaking. I saw the Lord sitting on a throne high and lifted up. And the train of his robe filled the temple. Above it stood seraphim, each one had six wings. With two he covered his face, with two he covered his feet, and with two he flew. King Uzziah died at a very significant time because God wanted to restore the prophetic. God wanted to say, listen, if this is how the kings are going to carry on, I need to do something different. So God called Uzziah specifically in a significant time of change where one king died and then the next king had to take over. And so guess what happened? It's interesting to note that the king after Uzziah was actually a very good king, King Jotham. He did lots of good. There was nothing evil written about him. He was a very successful king, quite significant. And I want to say this morning, God is going to start to call us in these significant times. Why? Because our nation is going one way unless the prophets of God start to stand up. Unless the people of God start to say, God, we want to be the prophets. We want to be the prophetic voice in this nation. We want to start to pray. We want to start to be your voice and be the gospel again in this nation. And so it's a significant time for us. I believe that just as when King Uzziah died, God is going to start to give us visions if we're ready. He's going to start to visit us. And it was amazing, and I don't get dreams, but the other night, the night before, it was the end of the first day of the pastor summit, and that next day, that Monday night, Fred just shared some of his heart with me, and that night I had a dream about him and Lucille, and I shared it with him, and I said, yes, Fred, this is amazing, I've had this dream about you, and I'm not a dreaming type of person, you know, but that's what we think in our heads. No, I'm not this dreamer. The dreams, all these dreams. My wife is amazing. She dreams very clear dreams. I just have weird dreams and I don't forget. I mean, I forget them. I can't remember. But this night I had this clear dream about him and Lucille. And I just shared it with him. But I was so amazed at how God wanted to use me to start to dream dreams and see visions. And God is going to start to do it in each of our lives. He's going to start to give us dreams and visions for this nation and for the people of this campus and of the city. But God wants to have an encounter with us. He's more excited. And so, yeah, in this presence, there was an incredible, glorious presence of God in this vision. And it talks here about seraphim. Some of the commentators say it's an angel. Some say it's a creature. There's not exactly clarity what it is. But the word seraphim actually means fiery creature. It's a passionate creature full of holiness. So, yeah, it talks about this incredible place of worship where Uzziah was caught up in the presence of God, seeing these amazing things happen. And one cried to another and said, holy, holy, holy. The seraphim crying out, saying, holy, holy, holy is the Lord of hosts. The whole earth is full of his glory. And so there's this atmosphere of worship. And when we worship God, we must realize there's a place of holiness. There's a place where we say, God, you're awesome. You're holy. That's why we worship in church. It's not just to sing some nice songs that we can feel good. It's to say, God, there's this atmosphere that we must enter in as people who come from a world where we've been bruised and battered, and that's why we come to church, to say, God, cleanse us again. Bring us into this place of holiness and encounter with you. And that's what Uzziah experienced. And he could hear the seraphim shouting, holy, and then he could hear them saying, the whole earth is full of his glory. Many times we forget that the earth is full of God's glory. We see so much bad news and death and suffering and all that, but you know what? The word says the whole earth is full of God's glory. Just get out into creation. Go out even on the plains of the Free State. There's glory. Even though in the winter it's all dry. But the earth is full of God's glory. God's people are standing up. And we don't see it always. And we don't join with those who've got the same passion with us. We're competitive, or that church versus this church or all that. And it's just distracting us from God's glory and God's holiness. And Uzziah had this encounter. And listen to what happened. The post of the door was shaken by the voice of him who cried out. And the house was filled with smoke. Uzziah was at this place of, whoa, God, I haven't seen this before. So guess what? It's not a quiet place. If posts are shaken by voices, guess what? There's a lot of noise in that place. But how often do we get comfortable with the church that's all silent and we're not shouting, we're not excited for God? There's this place where God wants us to be the voice again and to start to praise him from the rooftops and shout, he's great. Amen. It's not a quiet place. A church shouldn't be a quiet place where we sit and, yes, there's place for silence, and I'm for that. I had wonderful times of silence this week as well when I didn't have my kids with me. My wife's great. I'm not saying I didn't have her with me, so there was silence, okay? But I seriously had times of driving on my own for kilometers and just saying, God, your presence is awesome. I don't need to do stuff and pray, and I can just be. And hear your presence. But there's times when we encounter God like a church where we say, God, you are holy, and the voices are crying out, shaking the doorposts. And then what happened? What happened in this atmosphere of worship? Isaiah says the following. He says, "Woe is me, for I am undone." And he encounters God in such an awesome way, and the presence and the holiness and the beauty of God. He encounters him in such a way that he realizes his own sinfulness, his own nature. And he responds to the atmosphere. He responds to the presence of God. How many times don't we take church for granted and we just play church and we come into the presence of God and we forget about the holiness and saying, "God, woe is me. I shouldn't be able to stand in your presence, God. But you know what? The blood of Jesus allows me to." But for Isaiah, it was the following. He said, "Because this is why I'm undone." And he explains it. He says, "Because I'm a man of unclean lips, and I dwell in the midst of a people of unclean lips. For my eyes have seen the King, the Lord of hosts." And Isaiah starts to recognize his own misery, and he recognizes that he's not only a man of unclean lips, but he dwells in the midst. He comes from a people. He comes from a generation that have unclean lips. And isn't that true for us as South Africans? So easily criticizing, so easily focusing on the negative. I think the coaches are getting it right now. I think Heineke Meyer and his team are getting it right, that they're focusing on the positive. They got over the loss against all the All Blacks, and now they come back with a vengeance because they focused on the positives. And yes, there's still lots that they need to improve on. But I think they're starting to get this thing right of focusing on the positives. But you know what? As people born of Adam and Eve, born in sin, we come from a sinful people. We are a sinful people. So it's not only us that God wants to deal with. He wants to deal with our culture. He wants to deal with the circumstances, realizing that we come from a sinful people. And you know what? I want to say this morning that honesty, just like Isaiah did, as soon as he was honest, it attracted the presence of God to him. Because listen to what happens. "Then one of the seraphim flew directly to me, having in his hand a live coal which he had taken with the tongs from the altar." Honesty and saying, "God, I come from a sinful people. I come from, I'm born in sin. But you know what, God? I'm honest about it. And the circumstances I live in are not always positive. I'm found in this unclean situation. But you know what, God? I'm honest about it." And as soon as Isaiah was honest about it, the seraphim flew and started touching his lips with the coal. And I want to say this morning, let's be honest. Let's be real with where we are in the presence of God. Let's not say we're all holy and we're fine. If God wants to deal with something in your life, let him cleanse you. Because what did he do? He touched my mouth and he said, "Behold, this has touched your lips. Your iniquity is taken away and your sin is purged." Isn't that amazing? The presence of God, and the seraphim came and said, "Listen, Isaiah, the fact that you're here is good enough for me. And the fact that you're honest to recognize that, yes, you need a touch from me, I'm excited to touch your lips and to change your life. Also, I heard the voice of the Lord saying, 'Whom shall I send and who will go for us?' And then I said, 'Here am I, send me.'" An encounter with God always has two purposes. Number one, to cleanse us from our own sin, to change our own lives, to heal us, to save us, to deliver us. That's the first purpose, but it never stops there. An encounter with God ends and doesn't end, but continues when he starts to commission us and says, "You know what? I want to use you, but it's your choice. I'm not going to force you to go. But Isaiah, I need someone. Whom shall I send?" And Isaiah says, "Here I am, send me." And that's what I experienced at Convergence again last week in one of the worship sessions. Twice, actually, I experienced it, where God is saying, "I want to touch your mouth again. I want to excite you to preach the gospel. I want to excite you to bring good news to this nation. I want to excite you for that. Because I've cleansed you." And, you know, it was just so amazing to experience God saying, "You know what, you're full of weaknesses. You're full of stuff. You know what, but I'm not shaken by that. I still want to use you." And we had it at the Pastor Summit. It was so amazing where we realized as a church we've got lots of weaknesses. And one of the words that came at the end on Friday was just that God, by His Spirit, wants to fill the cracks. We've got cracks and we're going to have cracks. We're not going to be perfect. And I'm excited about that because as shofar, we realize, God, we rely on your anointing to break the yokes and to even change our own lives and to fill up where we cannot. And we must say, "God, yes, we're going to go even with our cracks and even with our shortcomings. But you want to cleanse us. You want to heal us. You want to save us. And then you want to commission us to go."
this morning, my last scripture before we just pray together and just trust God to continue the work He started in our lives. Why do we need to go and bring the good news? Why can't God just save people? God says, yeah. Paul writes to the Romans, for everyone who calls on the name of the Lord will be saved. That's great. For everyone who calls upon the name of the Lord will be saved. And he's talking here about the Jews and the Gentiles coming together, and that, you know what, it's not about doing all the rituals anymore, because Jesus has come to give us life. And so whoever recognizes that he is the Savior, whoever recognizes that will be saved. That's the great news. But he says here, but how can they call on him to save them unless they believe in him? In other words, it's great saying whoever calls on the name of the Lord will be saved. Cool, let's just go on with life. It doesn't work like that. How can they call on him unless they believe in him? And how can they believe in him if they have never heard about him? And how can they hear about him unless someone tells them? And how will anyone go and tell them without being sent? That is why the scriptures say how beautiful are the feet of messengers, special messengers like the Apostle Paul, each of us, to bring good news. I had this privilege of praying with a guy at the end of one of the sessions at Convergence. They made an altar call for salvation. One of the speakers from America, great speaker, Bayless Conley, get the CDs if you can, or the DVDs of his sessions. It was really awesome. But and I was standing there and I'm thinking, you know, God, I'm always at the front and the pastor's at the front, and you know, can't someone else just pray for these people? There's like about 20 people there, and so I'm standing there behind in the second row and I'm thinking, sure, there's going to be enough people to pray for these people. You know, tonight, it's been a long week, and it was actually Sunday night, the last night. So Lord, just use someone else, you know. And so a lot of us pastors, we're standing there, and these guys are standing, and there's no facilitators behind them. And the one guy looks, and he says, and I'm just thinking, okay, you know, I'll submit. I'll do it, you know. I'll just do what a good pastor's got to do and pray for people, you know. And then the guy's thinking, there's not enough girls to pray for these girls, and there's a couple of guys there, and I'm thinking, you know what, it's cool, I can pray for girls. But I suddenly started to feel God saying, you must pray for that guy, that one guy. And so I stood behind him and prayed the sinner's prayer and everything, and we took them aside and spent time with him. And it was so amazing. This guy is a first year at Stellenbosch, but he comes from Bloemfontein. He was here in Grey College, studied the exact same course, not the exact same, he studied civil engineering and I studied mechanical, in the exact same res that I was in Stellenbosch. Struggled with the exact same things that I used to struggle with when I was a student. How awesome is God? I was so excited. I've still got his number, and I said to him, he's come visit us when you're in Bloom and visiting your parents. But I prayed for him, and you know, he got filled with the Holy Spirit, because he said he's just making a recommitment to the Lord, and he's been struggling with just stuff in his life. And I said, you know what, you need the Holy Spirit. You need to be filled with the Holy Spirit. Let's just pray right now. Because when you walk with the Spirit, then you stop focusing on trying to sort out your issues. And you know what, the more you get to love God, the more you hate the sin, hate the world, things of the world. And it was just exciting for me to pray with this guy again and say, God, this is what I've been born for. You know, I didn't want to. And let someone else pray. I'll just take a Sunday off, you know. God said, no. And he did that throughout the week. There on Tuesday, I go and run, and he's got another appointment for me. God has got appointments for us when we're ready. Every time, every day, if we're ready and say, God, use us, you know what? You're going to feel at your most tired, at your most heartful. Okay, tell the English people there, don't know what the word is. But you're going to be at your weakest point, and God's going to say, you know what? I want to use you. I want to use you at your weakest, and it's going to be a divine appointment, because you're not going to organize it. I'm going to organize it. And whatever you will pray, will bless that person. Because you have overcome stuff in your life. And I was just so excited. And then we worshipped and Jason Upton came up. And then it was even more life-changing. And God just continued to change our lives as we go. But I'm just so excited for us to just be obedient to the call of God upon our lives as Christians. Let's all stand this morning as the band comes forward. I'd like the band this morning to just minister this song again. That last song about For the Sake of the World. Because I believe some of us must be like Isaiah this morning and just say, God, woe is me in your presence. I cannot do this on my own. I've tried and I've failed before, God. And you know what? I almost want to give up. I just want to be a Christian. I just want to be a comfortable Christian. Just doing what I'm used to doing. Doing what is comfortable. Doing the Christian thing and the church thing. But I want to say this morning, the Christian thing and the church thing is to bring good news. Can I say that again? The church thing and the Christian thing is that we have been called to bring good news to everyone who's open or even not open to receive it. But we must trust God to bring good news to those who are ready. And if they're not ready, we sow seeds. We just sow seeds like I did with that guy in Yonkershoek. Just sowing seeds, saying, you know what? God has got His hand on you. He wants to touch you. He so loves you. Just keep searching. And someone else will reap and you will harvest and you will sow and you will reap and whatever. Do what God says you must do. But I believe this morning, some of us must reignite that passion again and that confidence in the gospel of Jesus Christ. And not say, I've been called to be this and then I'll do that. No, no, you say this morning, God, primarily I haven't been called to study medicine or to study accounting or to study something. I've been called to be a Christian, to be a believer, to bring good news. And Lord, use me in my medicine. I want to be the best doctor. I want to be the best teacher. I want to be the best person that I can be. But Lord, primarily I want to get to people who need the good news. And if we ask for it, God is going to start to bring people into church. And that's why we have church, people. We don't just pack out a lot of chairs here just so that we can maybe fill half of them. And we have to say, we want to bring people into that encounter with God. But I believe this morning, you know, before God's going to bring in the massive harvest, He wants to have us encounter Him first. And that we can have that confidence and not struggle with the same stuff over and over again. And just to be real before God and say, God, I'm not an evangelist. I'm not someone who can just connect with people. And you know what? God doesn't want all of us to be evangelists. He hasn't called everyone to be an evangelist. But He said to Timothy, Timothy, you as the pastor of a massive church, you must still do the work of an evangelist. You must still connect with people. You must still tell people how God loves them. But just love people. Start to love people first of all. Because if we're going to preach without loving, it's not going to work. But Jesus and Paul had a love for people. They had a compassion that came from their hearts. So let's all close our eyes this morning. Father, I want to thank You just for Your presence here, Lord. Your sweet presence, Lord, in this place where we can be like Isaiah, seeing the angels shouting, holy, holy, holy. Seeing the elders bow down to You this morning, Lord. Because You are continually worshipped, Lord. Whether we worship or not, whether we encounter You or not, Lord, You are worshipped from eternity to eternity, Lord. But we want to join with them this morning and worship You and encounter You this morning, God. We need the coal of fire on our lips this morning, Lord. We need a touch from You this morning, God, that will change our lives forever. That will purge our sin and take away our iniquity. Even the stuff that we've done, and I just sent some people here, you've done so much stuff and it's sitting there like this heap of rubbish. And God says, I want to purge that sin this morning. I want to wipe it away from the face of the earth and from your mind. I want to wipe all the sin away. That is what the word says, purging your sin. It's to clear it out. It's not even in the deleted items box. It's even out of the deleted items box. It's purged. It's faded into nothing. It's burnt up by the fire. And I want to change your iniquity. I want to take away the cycles in your life where you maybe come from a family where there's been iniquity and there's been sexual sin, or there's been just stuff passed by from generations to generations. God wants to stop that in your life if you're willing to let Him do it. And then He wants to say to you, I want to use you. I'm excited about your life. I'm excited about using you. So while all our eyes are closed this morning, first of all, maybe there's just someone here, one person or two people, it doesn't matter. Even if there's one, God is excited about you this morning, but you need to come back to the lover of your soul. Or you need to say, Jesus, I realize that I know so much about You, and I come to church and I do the right Christian thing, but you know what? I don't know You. I don't have a relationship with You. I want to know You, Jesus. I want to know Your voice, just like I hear it this morning from someone else. But you know what? I want to hear that firsthand. And this morning, maybe you're hearing this good news for the first time from me. But you know what? God wants to tell you. He wants to tell you the good news Himself. He wants to have relationship with you. He wants to tell you how much He loves you. He doesn't want you always to go to church and get a message, and go to cell group and get a message, and go to a Bible study group and everything and get messages. He wants to tell you the message Himself. He wants a relationship with you.
So while all believers are praying this morning, if you don't know the Lord Jesus, if you don't have a relationship with Him, or maybe you've backslidden this morning, maybe you realize this morning that I need a touch for the first time because I've known about Jesus, I've gone to church, or maybe you've had a touch from Him and Jesus wants to touch you again this morning. And He wants to say to you, I love you. I'm proud of you, but I want to purge your sin because you cannot change yourself. You cannot deliver yourself of the sin. I need to do it. But I can only do it when you give me permission this morning. So if that's you, I want you just to be bold and just say, this is me, Alistair. I want an encounter with the Lord this morning. I want Him to change my life. Just raise your hand right where you are. I'd love to pray with you. If the Lord is stirring in your heart, if He's speaking to you, just be honest this morning. Is there anyone like that? Just last opportunity. If you need to give your life to the Lord Jesus, surrender to Him as the song says totally, then I'd just like you to raise your hand. Just show me where you are. I'd like to pray with you. Is there anyone else? Thanks for that hand. You can just lower your hand again. Is there anyone else that just wants to respond to Jesus this morning? Just allow the Lord to work in your heart for a while. If you're too shy to do it, then just come speak to me afterwards. But you know what I want to say to you today? Now is the time where the God is moving. Now is the opportunity to do it. Don't wait and don't do it afterwards. You know what? Because God's saying, now, I want your obedience. If God's speaking to you, I want you to be bold and to be obedient and say, Lord, that's me. You know what? And sometimes we feel so ashamed of recognizing God's work in our hearts, but you know what? We need to get over that shame and that shame, because we're never going to preach the gospel if we're even ashamed in church. How are we going to be out there? God's challenging us this morning. Don't be ashamed to raise your hand. No one's looking anyway, but God sees your hand this morning. And then the second group of people I would really, really like to speak to this morning, and I believe God is challenging most of us on this, is God wants you to come back to that place of passion and confidence in who He is. But saying yes to the call. And by saying yes, you say to God, thank you for the confidence and the passion I can have to love people and to bring them good news. So if you want the Lord to reignite that passion that Paul had and to give you that confidence in who He is in your life, specifically for preaching the gospel, because you've got a great relationship with Jesus. But God wants to touch your mouth that you can touch others' mouths, that you can touch others' lives. So if that's you this morning, I just want you to raise your hand and to recognize what God is doing in your life this morning. Just be honest with where you're at, because you know this first step of boldness is going to lead to lots more boldness. So if the Lord is speaking to you, if the Holy Spirit is speaking to you this morning, I just want you to be very bold and say, God, I want a touch from you. I want an encounter from you this morning. Just raise your hand. Just be honest, nice and high. God wants to use you guys in your workplaces, in your classrooms. Today is the day. Now is the time for that place and say yes to God. Just raise your hand where you are, just nice and high. I want you to do a very bold step this morning. Everyone who raised hands, even for the first call, the call of salvation and of recommitment to the Lord, I want you just to be very bold and to step out and to come to meet God here at the front. You know why I'm doing this? You can have an encounter with God right there where you are. But I believe it's a step of boldness saying, God, I'm going to step out now because my confidence is not in myself. I'm not going to have the fear of man driving me any longer. I'm not going to have the fear of man in my life. And I'm stepping out to saying, God, I want to be used by you. And I'm going to pray for everyone this morning. So just if you need to step out, step out. Don't delay. Because I really believe God wants to ignite our hearts again and for a passion for His name and His good news.